Thank you very much, Dr. Walensky. Before I'd like to begin, I'd just like to mention that tonight, Gimel Av is the yahrzeit of my great uncle, Harav Hagaon Rav Eliyahu Moshe Shiskal. He was the son-in-law of Moshe Feinstein, a real Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik, and I hope that this year will bring his neshama aliyah. I would like to talk about tonight is many of the dinim that change on Chatzot, at Chatzot Hayom, on Tisha B'Av. With the start of Chodesh Av and the commencement of the 9 days, many of us begin to think of the culmination of this period of mourning, and that's the fast of Tisha B'Av. Personally, I always had one question, something I never understood, and really, because of this year, it gave me a reason or a forum to really try to figure out why these things are true. I never understood why at Chatzot Hayom, which is the midday point, the time when we daven mincha, to all of a sudden many of the halachot change. Why do some halachot change and not others? Why do any change at all? And also, why is this time of midday, Chatzot Hayom, important? What makes that any special? You know, it always seems strange to me that after an intense period of reading Eicha at night and then the depressing morning of reciting keynote, all of a sudden at Chatzot things lighten up. The rabbi says you can get up off the benches. You know, it's sort of less of an intense moment. And we make almost a complete 180. In Yom Kippur, we stay in shul, we daven the whole day, and no one says, well, okay, it's Chatzot, it's halfway through the day, let's take a break. You know, you can go home for a couple of hours, you can take a nap, it's not a big deal, but we stay in shul the whole day. Why shouldn't it be the same thing on Tisha B'Av, that one is required to stay in shul reciting keynote all day? In addition, once we say that some things should change, why don't we just go, you know, across the board? Everything changes. You could put on your shoes, you could take a shower, you can do your laundry, you can get a haircut. Why stop at only a few halachot? So in order to answer these questions, I would like to analytically study, to really analyze a few of the more famous halachot that change at Chatzot, at the midday point, and try to figure out what really is behind them. So one of those halachot is wearing of talit and tefillin. The wearing of the talis and tefillin, we're not supposed to do it the morning, but you do put it on at midday. So many, I guess, half of the audience is women, and they're probably, you know, saying, this doesn't really apply to me, because tefillin, I don't wear tefillin, I don't wear a talis, so this doesn't apply to me. But the truth is, just from understanding this halacha, why it changes, it really reflects a tremendous amount on the day of Tisha B'Av, because this din is special to Tisha B'Av. You find it nowhere else. And really, just to understand why this halacha changes really reflects a tremendous amount about Tisha B'Av. So the first din I'd like to discuss is the wearing of talit and tefillin. The second halacha is the halacha of sitting on the ground. And the third halacha is the recitation of Nachem, which is the special edition we make in Shmona Esrei at Mincha time, that we don't make in Shacharis or in Maariv the previous night. So what I'm going to try to do, what we'll try to do together, is to analyze each halacha, asking questions on why it makes sense to change, why it doesn't make sense, and then hopefully come to a conclusion on, is this change in Chatzot, this phenomenon, the change in Chatzot, is that really indicative of these halachot, or is that something indicative of the entire day? So the first halacha I'd like to talk about is the halacha of wearing a talit and tefillin, or not wearing a talit and tefillin at Shacharis and only putting one on at Mincha time. So that's source one in the packet. I guess if you don't have a packet, I don't know if I made enough, but there are packets. So in source Aleph 1, it's the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Kuf, Taf Kuf Nun He, Sif Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Noagim Shalol Anyach Tefillin B'Tisha B'Av B'Shacharis. We are accustomed not to wear tefillin on the ninth day of Av in the morning, velo talit, not a talit also, el lofshin talit katan, we wear the, we call it tzitzis that most people wear under their clothes, without a bracha, ubemincha, and at mincha time, manichin tzitzis, we put on our talis gadol, utfilin, umavarchin aleha. We put on our tzitzis and our tefillin, and we make a bracha. So before we ask the most basic question of why is it mutter to wear a talit at mincha, the most obvious question is, why is it prohibited to wear a talis in the morning? Meaning, most of the time, what we do is, we wake up in the morning, you go daven shacharis, you go daven in the morning, and you put on a talis and tefillin. So why on Tisha B'Av have we veered from the norm? Have we said, don't put on a talit and tefillin in the morning? So the answer most people would give, if you ask them, You know, when you wake them up in the middle of the night, why don't you wear a talis or tefillin in the morning? Tefillin in the morning, they would say, it's really a halacha, a law that's borrowed from avelut. There's a din, there's a halacha that on the first day of one's avelus, the first day after someone dies and you bury them on that day, someone does not put on tefillin. You don't wear tefillin. And the reason the Gemara gives is that tefillin are considered a pe'er, a beautiful adornment. And that first day of avelut, someone is so sad, they're in so much distress, that it's inappropriate to wear an adornment. So the question, although one could have answered that Tisha B'Av has this din of Avil Yom Rishon, of an Avil on the first day, and that's why you don't wear tefillin, this answer is loaded with questions. Firstly, an Avil Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin, he doesn't wear tefillin the whole day. It's not that halfway through the day, all of a sudden, he can't put on tefillin. And secondly, an Avil Yom Rishon, the reason we say that he doesn't wear tefillin is because he's under so much stress, distress, that he shouldn't put on tefillin. But the rest of the days of Shiva, he does wear tefillin. And it's difficult to say that Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, happened so long ago, it has the status of the first day someone died. If anything, if we want to consider it to have the status of Avelut, it should only have the status of Avelut of the other 6 days of Avelut. So that's one question. In addition, the Shulchan Aruch mentions that one should not wear a talis in the morning, a talis gadol. So this din is not found anywhere by an Avil Yom Rishon. There is the only time we ever tell anyone not to put on a talit gadol is on Tisha B'Av. But the first day of someone's of mourning and the Yom HaKvura, the day the person's buried, an Avil does put on a talis. And thirdly, if you want to say that there's a prohibition against wearing tzitzis and tefillin, against wearing the four-corner garments with fringe and to wear tefillin, why is it permitted to wear a talis katan underneath your garment? So these are three questions. On the first halacha, we learn that changes at chatzot. Why is it that tefillin are prohibited in the morning? And why then is it allowed subsequently in the afternoon? The second halacha that changes at chatzot is the halacha of sitting on the ground. This is the most famous one because it's the most obvious that most shuls, I don't know what they do here, but I went to Morash HaKolel and they used to say kinos till past chatzot, but at chatzos, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Mordechai Willig would make an announcement and say, it's after chatzos, you can get up off the ground. Everyone's allowed to sit on a bench now. So the question is, why all of a sudden this abrupt change that you can get up off the ground? So again, at first glance, if you asked anyone why is it that you sit on the ground in the first place at Tisha B'Av, you would say the reason is because an avil sits on the ground. Someone who's in mourning sits on the ground. The question is, firstly, an avil sits on the ground all 7 days of Shiva. He doesn't sit for half a day. And if we want to say that the halachot of avelut transfer to Tisha B'Av, one should be required to sit on the ground the whole day. Again, if the halacha would have been, you have to sit on the ground the whole day, it wouldn't have been so hard for everyone to sit on the ground the whole day. So that's one question. And secondly, there are other customs, other halachot of avelut that take place when someone's in avel, but aren't transferred to Tisha B'Av. For example, one of the more obvious ones are tearing kriya. When someone passes away, it's incumbent upon every one of the close relatives of the person who died to tear kriya. But we don't find this halacha by Tisha B'Av. You only find the halacha of sitting on the ground. In addition, you don't have to go cover your mirrors on Tisha B'Av. So you obviously see that not every halacha of avelus has been transferred to Tisha B'Av. So why is it that sitting on the ground, we do sit on the ground on Tisha B'Av, and why is it that halfway through the day, you're allowed to get up? So this is halacha 8, source 8 in the packet, and that is quoted from the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Taf Kuf Nun Tet Sif Gimel, Leil Tisha B'Av V'Yomo Yoshvim B'Beit HaKnesset La'aretz Ad Tfilat Mincha. The night of Tisha B'Av and the day, we sit on the ground until it comes to Tfilas Mincha. So that's what the Mechaber says, that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. So these are two dinim, and the last din is the recitation of Nachim. So this is the special insertion you only say once a year at Mincha on Tisha B'Av. And that's source 9 in the packet. B'Tisha B'Av Omrim Bebona Yerushalayim Nachim Hashem Elokeinu et Avlei Tzion Va'aneinu B'Shmona Esrei. So there are two insertions we make at Mincha. Already at Shacharit, the Chazan says Aneinu, but Nachim is specific only to be said at Mincha. V'im lo amar lo zeh v'lo zeh ein machzirin. But if someone forgets, you don't make them go back. And this is the Ramah of Moshe Ishlis, the Ashkenazic Posek. He says, V'haminag pashut she'ein omrim Nachim rak b'tzvilat Mincha shel Tishabav. So the Ramah says, we only say Nachim at Mincha time. So the question one could ask is, what happened to Shacharis and Mincha? Whenever we have an addition to Shmona Esrei, such as Yalla V'Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, or any of the other holidays, Ala Nisim, which we say at Hanukkah and Purim time, we say those at all three Shmona Esreis. You don't stop only at Mincha, or only at Shacharis, or only at Maariv. Why is it that we only say Nachim at Mincha time and not earlier? So it seems that these halachos, although they're partially borrowed from Hilchot Avelis, they really, it's very difficult to say they're straight, you know, brought from Hilchot Avelis to Hilchot Tisha B'Av. While other of the five major prohibitions on Tisha B'Av that we are knowing, the Isser of anointing oneself, of washing oneself, of eating and drinking, those halachot, those are straight from Hilchot Avelis, but these dinim seem to be so unique, it, both in the sense that they change, and in the sense that they don't really make sense to be applicable on Tisha B'Av, that we really have to try to figure out why is it that these halachot apply to Tisha B'Av. So if there are any questions, please feel free to ask, but don't hesitate. So I'd like to start by really analyzing one of the halachot very well to try to figure out why that one makes any sense. And then maybe we can come up with a conclusion, and that conclusion can be applicable to the other reasons. So the halacha I'd like to analyze is tefillin, because that is the strangest of all of them. Firstly, that you only wear a talit, you don't wear a talit gadol, but you wear a talit katan. Secondly, that you can put on your tefillin in the, you don't wear tefillin in the morning, and more importantly, you do put them on in the afternoon. To me, is the strangest of all the halacha, because it really makes the least sense. So it makes such little sense in the sense of not wearing tefillin in the morning that there are many Rishonim and Achronim who did wear tefillin and do wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av in the morning. It's quoted that a lot of the Mekubalim from Yerushalayim, they'll daven in the morning by themselves in their house, they'll wear tefillin, they'll say Kriyat Shema, and only later will they go and to shul and say keynote and take off their tefillin. But there's so many people who felt the din is so strange, the custom is so peculiar to not wear tefillin in the morning at Tisha B'Av that they felt they should wear tefillin. So why is it that you don't wear tefillin in the morning? And in addition, the Rambam quotes that only some of the Gaonim, some people didn't wear tefillin. The Rambam says it was almost like a chumrah, only an exceptional group of people who didn't wear tefillin. And we have accepted this as the norm, but the question still remains, why is it that you don't have to wear tefillin? So it would lead one to believe that it's only a custom, because the Rambam says it's only a minag that some people don't wear tefillin. So where does this minag come from? In addition, the din of not wearing of talis. So where does that come from? It's again peculiar that someone doesn't wear a talis gadol, but would wear a talis katan underneath their garment. So if you look at source 2, this is the Magen Avram, and also in the Bir Agra, it's on the Ma'at. We'll read the Bir Agra, it's clear. The Bir Agra says, this is the reason why, number 6, source 6, this is the reason why you do not wear a talis gadol on Tisha B'Av. He says, Al Pia Medrash, this is based on a Medrash. Bitza Emraso Baza Purpurin Delay. So that is the Medrash quoted in Medrash Eicha. It's based on the Pasuk in source 7. The Torah tells the Torah in Eicha. It's recorded as saying in Perek Beis. No, not, this is in source 3 is the pasuk in Eicha. It says Asa Hashem Asher Zamam Bitsa Emraso Asher Tziva Mimei Kedem Haras. So the translation is the Hashem has done that which He said. He has performed His word He commanded in the days of old. And Bitsa Emraso means, in the Pashat Pshat, in the simple explanation, He has performed His word. Bitsa means to perform. Emraso means His word. So the Medrash points out that Emraso with a segol does not really mean his word. It should say imraso, but emraso is a reference to a garment, like imre shefer, beautiful clothing. Emraso means a garment, and bitsa is not, the translation of bitsa is not he performed, but it's to rip. That Hashem ripped off his garment. He tore his garment. He tore his beautiful garment. So the Medrash goes on to say that we feel that when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the rest of the Pasuk goes on to say, V'yismach alayich oyev, that our enemies rejoiced, so we feel Hashem also must be rejoicing. Because if our enemies have the opportunity to rejoice, we also must have the opportunity to rejoice. So the Medrash tells us that it's not true, that Hashem bitsa emraso, and that's translated in Aramaic as Baza pur pariah dileh. He tore his garment. That Hashem rent his garment. And we say, based on this halacha, that it's inappropriate for one to wear a very chashuv, a very important garment. So that's why we take off our talis, in remembering the fact that Hashem also tore his important garment. In addition, in source 4, you'll see another source, that another din that's based on, another halacha that's based on this medrash in Eicha. It's the Ramah in source 4. The Ramah quotes a lot of minhagim we have, and the last one he quotes in the last line is Umasirin haparochet milifnei ha'aron al shem bet bitsa emrato. We take off the parochet, the parochet we take off once a year. You only take it off the aron once a year, the covering for the aron kodesh. You take it off on Tisha B'Av more at Eicha time at night, and then you put it back on at Mincha. But why do we take it off at night? So the Ramah tells us the reason we take off the parochet is based on this source, that just as Hashem ripped his garment, he tore his garment, he tore kriya as a sign of avelut, we also don't adorn ourselves in fancy garments. We don't wear a talit. We take off the parochet, which is an adorning garment, also to remember this custom. So it's interesting to note, this is why if you're in shul at mincha time, or right before mincha, you'll notice that they put the parochet back on at mincha time. And the Kaf HaChaim explains that this is based on the fact that you put on a talit also at mincha time, because this din of bitsa emrato, the fact that Hashem tore his garment, ends at mincha time. So the question still unresolved is, that might explain why you don't wear a talit in the morning, but why is it that you do put on a talit in the afternoon? Why is it that we put the parochet back on the aron at mincha time? So we'll leave that question unresolved for one more minute. And the second din is the din of tefillin, the halacha that you don't wear tefillin in the morning. So again, we mentioned numerous questions that we had. Why is it that we don't wear tefillin in the morning? It doesn't really make sense. You should put on tefillin in the morning. So the Bir Agra, quoted in source 6 again, he quotes another pasuk in Eicha to explain why we don't wear tefillin. So the pasuk says, it's actually source 7, Eicha ya'iv ba'apo Adonai et bat Zion hishlich mishamayim aretz. How has Hashem covered with the cloud the daughter of Zion in his anger, meaning Vnei Yisrael? He cast down from heaven upon to earth the beauty of Israel. So the Gra explains in source 6, hishlich mishamayim aretz tiferes Yisrael, that Hashem threw down to the ground the tiferet, the Pe'er of Israel, that's really a reference to tefillin. This is a reference to the fact that Hashem took off his tefillin. So just as Hashem took off his tefillin when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so too it's inappropriate for us to wear tefillin. So what we've learned so far is that these two halachot, the din of not wearing a talit and not wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av, are special Tisha B'Av dinim. They're dinim only specific to Tisha B'Av based on a medrash. But the question still remains, if it's a special din to Tisha B'Av, why don't we not wear tefillin the whole day? We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, some people don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Why is it that all of a sudden at Chatzot HaYom we'll put tefillin on? So I'd like to share with you an idea I saw from Rav Soloveitchik. It's in a book called Shiurei HaRav. It's a nice small book on halachas of Avelot and on Tisha B'Av. And he has a very beautiful idea that he quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg. That's source 5. So just a little background about who the Maharam Rutenberg was. He was really one of the first great Ashkenazic commentaries. He lived in Germany. He was really the first person of German descent to really come to the forefront with in terms of the Talmudic teaching. And he was a very big Talmud Chacham, and many of the minhagim we have in for Ashkenazim come from the Maharal Rutenberg. And it's also interesting to note that he also lived a pretty terrible life, as I guess most of the Jews in the Middle Ages. In 1286, King Rudolf I of Germany declared that the Jews had to give him a new... The Jews became a serf to the treasury, which in effect meant they had no more freedoms. So along with many, Maharal Rutenberg ran out of Germany and he tried to escape but he was captured. And the king, because he was such a prominent figure, the Maharal Rutenberg, he put him in jail, he put him in prison, and he made a tremendous ransom on the Maharal Rutenberg. He made a ransom of 23,000 marks of silver. And the Rush, Rav Asher ben Yechiel, who we have in the back of the Gemara, was a Talmud of the Maharam. He actually raised the money. He got together from all the Jews in Europe, he got together this money to free the Maharam. But the Maharam said that you can't free me, because the Gemara explains that if someone gives an inordinate, a very high price to free someone from a kidnapping, you shouldn't free them, lest all of a sudden they start kidnapping everyone and start ransoming people for very high amounts. And the Maharam was such a prominent figure, he felt that if all of a sudden they paid for his ransom, that every Jew would be captured and ransomed for a tremendous amount of money. So he stayed in prison and he died in prison. And all 14 years after his ransom and he died, he still had him, his body was still in prison, and the tradition goes that there was one Jew who paid to have the Maharam's body taken out. I guess the Maharam was dead, so he didn't really have much say on, you couldn't ransom his body. But the Maharam, that he ransomed the Maharam, and he said he only has one request, to be buried next to the Maharam, in wherever he's buried, to be buried next to him. And if you go to the cemetery where the Maharam Rutenberg is buried, you see the person who ransomed him right next to him. That was just an aside, but you see the Maharam was a person who didn't live such a happy life, and he's telling you about Tisha B'Av. So in source 5, we have the reason why we don't wear tefillin in the morning. V'ram mi-Rutenberg kasav, v'nira de-b'Tisha B'Av ein laniach tefillin, k'mo b'yom rishon shel avel. He says that we don't wear tefillin on Yom Rishon, just like an avel Yom Rishon. Why? She'ein yom mar yotami menu, yom kviyot b'chiyah ledorot. So he says there's no sadder day than a day that is set aside to constantly cry for the generations. Because of Adoni Avi Harush, the Rush, the Talmud of the Maharal Rutenberg, said, Efshar shedachak lemsoa tam leminag, aval lechora nira kamasha kasav. The Rush said it's very hard to understand why we don't wear tefillin in the morning. But he says if there's any reason, it's going to be this reason given by the Maharam, that this is the saddest day of the year, the saddest day for us, is a day that is set aside for crying. So the question is, fine, it's a sad day, it's a day when we sit and cry, but why should that make it a din of have the halachot of an Avol Yom Rishon? So Rav Soloveitchik explained beautifully, he said that it's not that the Yom Mar is like an Avil Yom Rishon. It's like a first day of mourning. It's rather a more stringent day. It's the day before one has buried their relative. It's when someone is an Onin. An Onin is someone who has, a relative has died, but they have not yet been buried. And the most famous rule of an Onin is that an Onin is putter, he's exempt from all mitzvot. He doesn't perform any mitzvot. So the most simple reason to explain why an Onin doesn't perform any mitzvot is because he has to be busy with getting together the funeral procession and make sure their relative will be buried. But Rav Soloveitchik explained that the reason an Onin doesn't perform mitzvot is because he's supposed to totally be focused on the dead person, on their relative who is deceased, to keep in their minds, to remember the sadness they're feeling, that it's very easy to get distracted, to lose focus from the sadness. If all of a sudden you have to do mitzvot, you have to go to shul and daven, you have to put on a talis and tefillin, you have to sukkahs, you have to go, you know, not sukkahs is an example. If you have to all of a sudden do other mitzvot, daven mincha, you know, find a mincha minyan, find a marav minyan, it's very easy to lose focus on the sadness you're supposed to feel. So So Rav Soloveitchik explains that while we are reciting keynote and while we say Eicha, we have the status of a relative who has just passed away, that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, and we all are in the status of Anina. We're all in the status of Anina, that it's as if someone has just died. So many of you are asking, okay, so we shouldn't do any of the dinim on Tisha B'Av. We shouldn't do any mitzvot aseh. But that's not, it's only a minhag. We're noheg, we accustom ourselves to really treat the time of Tisha B'Av when we recite Kino, when we recite Eicha, as a time that it's really like we're, our relative has just died, and we want to try to stay so focused on the dead person, on the deceased, in order to not lose focus. So Rav Soloveitchik said that is really what Tisha B'Av is all about. This is why, even if you don't put on tefillin, you can really appreciate this idea that so many halachot apply that we don't do certain things because we want to show how we're so focused on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why in the morning and at night, while we recite keynote, we have the status of a meis mutal b'funav. So Rav Soloveitchik used this idea to explain many of the dinim on Tisha B'Av, that some of them that we mentioned before and others. The first halacha of why don't we wear tefillin and a talit gadol. So we mentioned before that one of the anomalies is that you can wear a talis katan, but you don't wear a talis gadol. So the most obvious difference between a talis gadol and a talis katan is that one everyone sees and one people don't. You, no one here will know if I'm wearing tzitzis or not because they're underneath my shirt. But if you put on a talis gadol, everyone sees it. And tefillin also. Tefillin is something you wear on your head and everyone can see. So Soloveitchik said that it would be inappropriate for one to walk around flaunting mitzvahs they're doing when they're supposed to be so focused on the day of Tisha B'Av, on the sadness that we feel. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik said we don't wear tefillin, we don't wear talis, because these are showy mitzvahs. They're mitzvahs that everyone sees. And he went on to explain that's also why we sit on the ground on Tisha B'Av. It's not a halacha that's learned from Avila. It's a halacha that's learned from an onin. The reason we sit on the floor is to keep us focused. It's so uncomfortable, it's hard to get distracted. All you're thinking about is how uncomfortable you are, how sad you are to be on the floor. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's why we sit on the floor. So we, in a lowly position, to stay focused on our sad situation. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So what comes out based on this explanation is that you have to sit on the floor, according to Rav Soloveitchik. And I saw also Rav Sternbach, who's a dayan for the Eid HaRedis in Yerushalayim, said the same idea. He said there's actually a fulfillment of halacha by sitting on the ground, meaning many times it's uncomfortable to sit on the ground. So you stand up, you walk around, you have a shtender. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Sternbach says this, it's one is obligated to sit on the floor specifically, to sit in a low position, because this is how one really takes part in the feeling of sadness of the day. And other halachot that we find in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tisha B'Av also seem to show this din. There's an Isser Malacha, it's forbidden to work on Tisha B'Av. But that prohibition to work on Tisha B'Av is only relevant until Chatzot Hayom. That's only prevalent until midday. And the reason is the same. Because while we recite keynote, while we say Eicha, one is supposed to be focused totally on the sadness of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we do that? We try to stay focused. We don't do showy mitzvahs. We try to show that we're sad. We sit on the ground and we don't do work. Another halacha quoted in Shulchan Aruch is you don't go have erroneous conversations. You don't have sicha b'teila with people. You're not supposed to talk to non-Jewish people because non-Jewish people don't understand what the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was about. So if you start talking to them, you're not going to be talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. These are all halachot that apply. And the last halacha is halacha of not saying nachim. Why don't we recite nachim? So nachim comes from the word nechama, consolation. And the ultimate purpose of giving someone consolation is to try to distract them and divert their attention, their sadness, from this feeling they had. So if we were to say nachim while trying to feel this immense, intense sadness, it would be impossible. How can you say, I feel intense sadness, I feel depressed, I'm so overwhelmed with sadness, and at the same time requesting not a nechama? That's why, interestingly enough, if someone passes away and they still haven't buried the body, a lot of times I've seen this, it's a mistake, that while the family is waiting for either to go to the cemetery or they're at the place where they give the hesped, people will walk over and offer them condolence, but that's not really appropriate. The halacha is you're not supposed to offer nechama to someone kol zman meis mutal b'fanav. The whole time that someone is still hasn't been buried, it's inappropriate to offer condolence because they're supposed to stay focused on the sadness that's in front of them. So this is really Rav Soloveitchik's explanation that Chazal set up that the times when we are supposed to be focused on the avelus of Tisha B'Av, when we say Eicha and when we recite Kinos, we're really supposed to be so focused on the Beis HaMikdash, it's like as if a meis mutal b'fanav. We're supposed to try to contemplate the day. So again, we're still left with the question though, why is it that these things change at Chatzot? So say to someone, you have to focus all day. You have to really, you know, sit on the ground all day. You can't talk to people, erroneous conversation. Don't wear talis. Why does it change at Chatzot? So the Bir Agra, it's not on the sheet, quotes the Ramah that we read before partially. The Gra wants to know why is it that we're accustomed to wear tefillin at mincha time. So he says, look at the Ramah in source 9, and then look at a Tosfos in Kiddushin. So the Bir Agra always doesn't tell you much, but here he really doesn't tell you anything. He tells you, look at a Ramah and look at a Tosfos. So I brought both of those sources down and we'll read them together and you'll see what the Gra is referring to, what the Vilna Gaon was referring to. So in source 9, at the end, not the very end, but the Ramah says, we'll read from the beginning of the Ramah from which is Hagah in the Rashi script, the Minag Pashut She'ein Omrin Nachim Rak B'Tfilat Mincha Tel Tisha B'Av. And what's the reason? L'fi She'az Heitzitzu B'Mikdash Eis. B'mikdash Eish, because only then did the fire spread in the Beis HaMikdash. So what is this a reference to? This is a reference to the Gemara and Tanit. The Gemara says, it quotes two psukim. One pasuk says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 7th of Av, and one Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th of Av. So the Gemara asks the question, first of all, we celebrate the 9th of Av, we commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash on the 9th of Av. And second of all, it's neither of those. Either it's the 7th or the 10th. How can it be both? So the Gemara answers that on the 7th of Av, the Babylonians entered the temple and they desecrated it and they killed many Jews. And on the 10th of Av is when the Beis HaMikdash burnt. So what does it mean if the 10th of Av, the Beis HaMikdash burnt? Why is it that we commemorate the 9th of Av? So the Gemara says that at Samach LaMincha, at the time of Mincha time, that is when the Babylonians set to fire the Beis HaMikdash. That is a historical, that's what the Gemara says, historically, the Beis HaMikdash was only burnt at the later on in the day of the ninth. So if I were to tell you that's the reason why we say Nachim at Mincha time, first you'd scratch your head and you'd say, well, we just got through saying that the morning time is the most intense time for suffering, but the Beis HaMikdash only got burnt till the ninth, the later on in the ninth of Av. And secondly, why would we say Nachim if that's when the Beis HaMikdash just got burnt? So, I'd like to share with you, the Gra here quotes this Tosfos. So, this Tosfos really is quoting from a Medrash in Medrash Eicha, but it's based on a Gemara in Kedushin. So, it's a very interesting Gemara. I'm a father, so I just, 2 years ago I had a daughter, so this Gemara is very, I like this Gemara. Kivra ve'imsug user become very important to you when you become a father. So the Gemara tells a story about Avimi. Avimi was a Tana, and he was very careful about kivra ve'im. So the Gemara says that one time his father called him and said, bring me a glass of water. So I guess back then, in time of the Tanaim, they didn't have running water, so he had to go out to the well and get a cup of water. And by the time he got back to his father fell asleep. So the Gemara says that Avimi stood there, bent over his father, ready to give him the water. So the Gemara says, why didn't he walk away? Why, you know, the Gemara doesn't say anything. The Gemara says he leaned over him. Like, most of us either would have woken our father up or we would have left and came back when he called it. But the Gemara says that Avimi was so careful about Kivra Ve'im that he wanted to be ready the minute his father woke up to give him this glass of water. So the Gemara says in the S'chus, in the merit of his being so careful about Kivra Ve'im, he was Zocha, he merited understanding a Mizmor in Tehillim. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, sorry. So what is this Mizmor in Tehillim that the Gemara quotes? So that's source 10 in Tosfos. The Gemara says, "Be'odo gachin lefanav." This is actually from the Gemara. Shehaven v'darosh mizmor la'asaf elokim bo goyim benach lasecha. The mizmor in Tehillim says, "Mizmor la'asaf, a mizmor, a joyous song to Asaf, who's a person, elokim bo goyim benach lasecha. God, Gentiles came into your nachala, your area, and then it goes on to say they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So Tosfos says, Shaloha Yamevin bo mikodem lachain, vidarshu. And he quotes, and this is the Medrash. So the Gemara says, what was that he wanted to know? It says, Yesh meforshim shemikra ze levad, darash mizmor la'asaf, kina la'asaf miboile. If this Tehillim is discussing the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, it's very peculiar to start off mizmor la'asaf, a joyous song to us of the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Doesn't make any sense. He said, should have said kina. It should have been one of the kinos. So vidarash she'amar asaf shira. Asaf said a shira. Al shekila hakadosh baruch hu chamato al etzim va'al avanim shebebeso. Asaf sang a song that Hashem took out his wrath, his anger, on the etzim, on the sticks, and on the stones of his bais, of the Beis HaMikdash. U'mitoch kach hutir pleita mi'Yisrael. And because of this, that Hashem took out His anger on the Beis HaMikdash, on the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash, a pleita, a remnant of Yisrael was left. She'el malei kach, if it wasn't for this, lo nishtayer misone Yisrael, sharadu pleita. If it wasn't for this, no one from the Jewish people would be left, no remnant and no straggling people. Everyone would have been killed. But because Hashem took His anger out on the Beis HaMikdash, on the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash, that's why he sang a mizmor. And the Midrash goes on to tell a very interesting, a beautiful mashal about a king and his son. The king built for his son a beautiful house, I don't know, like a beautiful house on the beach, and a beautiful, you know, not a palace, but the king lived in the palace, but a beautiful house for his son. And then the son went and did something terrible. He was embarrassed his father. So his father went and burnt down this house that he had just built. So the teacher of this prince went, picked up a harp, and started singing happy songs. So the king said to him, "What are you doing? I just destroyed my son's house. Don't you see how angry I am at him?" He said, "Well, your son did something so terrible that really he deserved to die. He deserved to be killed, but you took your anger out on this house, on this physical structure. So really, today should be a happy day for your son. He should be celebrating the fact that he wasn't killed, that his stupidity, his mistake, didn't lead to his death. It only led to the destruction of his palace." So the Medrash goes on to say, that's what it means, as hitzitzu esh b'mikdash, that's why it's a mizmor, it's a joyous song that Asaf sang when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Gra explains, quoting this Tosfos, really comes to explain all the halacha we mentioned. All these halachot that are special to Tisha B'Av, all the Tisha B'Av dinim that we mentioned before, is to try to keep someone focused on the sadness of Tisha B'Av ends at Chatzor, end at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Why is it that when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it's time to move on? It's time to, you know, not be so focused on the sadness of the day. So the Gra explains, because in the destruction of the physical building of the Beis HaMikdash, we received a nechama. We received a consolation. From just seeing that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we realized that Hashem didn't kill us. He didn't wipe us out. And from that alone, we have a certain nechama. So the Gra says, that's why we put on our talis and tefillin, we get up off the ground, we say nachim, because now it's a time that we're ready to ask for nechama, because we realize the Beis HaMikdash just got destroyed, a physical structure got destroyed, and not the Jewish people. I was reading a book, it's called Neighbors, by Jan T. Gross. It's about the destruction of the Jewish community in Jedwabne, Poland. So it's an incredible story about how the Holocaust wasn't really only, the killings in the Holocaust wasn't only conducted by the Nazis. It tells a story how the Nazis, on their way attacking Soviet Russia after the treaty was, the Ribbentrop-Molotov treaty was absolved, and not absolved, the Nazis broke the treaty, the Nazis started marching through Russia. So when they started going through these small towns that were in Poland, but them became part of Russia, so they started, the Nazis just marched through, and they didn't stop in every town to kill all the Jews. So the story, the book goes on to discuss how this whole Jewish community was killed by the Poles. It wasn't; they weren't killed by the Nazis. And it's very interesting how he talks that the Jews, throughout the history of this small town of Jedwabne, were always prepared for a pogrom. And he writes that there was even, like in 1934, I guess it's 7 years before these Jews were killed, there was a blood libel, there was a woman who died, and they blamed it on the Jews. And there was ready to be a pogrom. And he writes that this episode, the Jews, you know, they kept quiet, they hid out, a few people died, but then things settled down and they moved forward. So he writes that this episode fits very well within the boundaries of Jewish existence, which included, among other things, was the foreknowledge of impending pogroms. Jews knew that pogroms would come, but then they would end. So he says, I mean, he writes this in a book to say that the Holocaust, this didn't happen, but I thought it was a very interesting line, how he said that Jews always knew there would be destruction, but then they knew there would be a time to move forward. And I think really that's what one of the main messages of Tisha B'Av is about, how the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's true. But really we should realize that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was a physical structure. But we have to realize that Hashem took out his anger for the things we did on a physical structure, and he didn't kill all of us. And the fact that the Jewish people are still here today, if you're a student of history, you can really break up history into just terrible things happening to the Jewish people. And that's what Tisha B'Av was about. It's a time to remember and set a day aside to remember all these terrible tragedies that happened to us. But just by the fact that you can think about all these terrible tragedies, it makes one think about how's the fact that we're still here today. That no other people has had so many tragedies time and time again befall them and still remains here. So I think that is really one of the main messages of Tisha B'Av. That's why things change at Chatzot. Because built into the day is a certain aspect of looking forward, a certain aspect of nechama, a certain aspect of condolence, that really, you know, terrible things happen to the Jewish people. It's not a lot of bad things that happened in our past, and it's important to remember them and to mourn over those things. But we also have to realize that God is still protecting us, He still cares for us, and that even after so many years, we're still here as a people and as a nation. We must use Tisha B'Av as a time to take pleasure in knowing that Hashem really cares about us, and in return should adhere to our faith and accept our faith. I saw quoted a nice quote. They say that it's not about falling down, but it's about getting up that should inspire all of us Jews to complete our journey as good Jewish people. That really, Tisha B'Av, it's a sad day. It's a day that's, you know, filled with sadness, and we mentioned how the whole morning is supposed to be dedicated to keeping our focus on this terrible, sad things that happened to us, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Holocaust, the Spanish Inquisition, the blood libels, the Chmelnytsky massacres. You can make a list that can go from here till tomorrow of all the terrible things, and we're supposed to focus on those things all morning while we recite Eicha, while we recite Kinos, but in the afternoon, you have to start looking forward. It's not, you know, the halachos of Tisha B'Av don't end. You don't go ahead and, you know, go take a shower and start putting on your shoes and go eat. But we move forward. We move past this intense feeling of avilus and into a more relaxed, that we don't even call relaxed, into more of a nechama-oriented morning. Thank you very much. Have an easy fast and a meaningful one.